Hello, everybody, and happy Monday. We have the Summer Olympics coming up this summer in Paris, the 2026 Winter Olympics in Cortina, Italy, and then the 2028 Summer Olympics will be in the U.S. in Los Angeles. It is my absolute favorite thing to watch, and judging from the numbers, that is probably the same for many of you. The Olympics are the most watched and most expensive sporting event in the world. The Tokyo and Rio Olympics each cost an estimated $13 billion plus. And for comparison, the Las Vegas Grand Prix cost $400 to $500 million. So still a lot, but magnitudes of a difference in scale. And the Winter Olympics turns 100 years old this year, having started in Chamonix in 1924. But the winter spectacle is under threat with growing climate change concerns, fewer and fewer places that can actually host the event. Now, obviously, F1 doesn't require snow, and F1 and the Olympics have a lot of differences. There's a big difference between 24 races a year versus one mega event winter and summer every two. 10 teams and 20 athletes in F1 versus an estimated 10,000 athletes this summer from all over the world in Paris for the Olympics. But there are still a lot of similarities, bringing people and equipment from all over the world to host cities, trying to put on an entertaining and competitive sporting event with tons of fans, and trying to do that sustainably. So this season on For the World, we'll be diving more into what it actually takes to put on a race sustainably. But if you listen to our last episode with Julia Pellet, Vice President of Sustainability for Formula E, you heard her say that they take a lot of inspiration from the Olympics. So thought we'd unpack that a bit today to see what F1 can potentially learn from the world's biggest sporting event. I'm Tiggy, and this is our March installment of For the World. So for some background, there's quite a big debate about how sustainable the Olympics really are. Those who are more skeptical say that it's really just paying lip service to sustainability while catering to the elite, perpetuating excessive consumption. They do more gimmicky things like the Tokyo cardboard beds, more for show. We'll get to those a little later. And then there's also debate about how good hosting an Olympics actually is for the host country or for the host city. It's not the Olympics, but one example, if people remember the Brazil World Cup in 2014, there was a ton of controversy around it. It was the most expensive World Cup in history. It cost three times the original estimate, much at the expense of taxpayers. A lot was said to be fraught with corruption, and by the time the event even kicked off, more than half of Brazilians who were polled were against the event, and there were a lot of protests, so it was not the best situation. Those who think that these kind of mega sporting events have an opportunity to impact for good, they think, you know, there's opportunity to accelerate innovative solutions. They can exert political influence to move towards sustainable practices of hosting and living. Something like the Olympics can do a lot to lift local economies and businesses. And if done responsibly, there have been great success stories of these large-scale events and what they've done for cities. So we'll talk a little bit about those. But the unfortunate reality is that the most recent Olympics haven't actually been the most sustainable. I think if you look at it, and there have been studies on this, the Winter Olympics are typically more sustainable than summer, given a lower visitor footprint, smaller events, fewer athletes, fewer sports. Salt Lake City's Olympics 22 years ago in 2002 was a Winter Olympics. This takes the top spot of most sustainable Olympics ever. Even the Tokyo Olympics, which had no spectators, was not the most sustainable of those Olympics. So we'll talk a little bit more about the details of those. But even if the Olympics haven't necessarily been getting more and more sustainable over time, there are definitely frameworks F1 can borrow and be inspired by from the Olympics. So before we get into what F1 can actually borrow from the Olympics, what makes an event sustainable? There are usually three broad categories that organizers should think about when it comes to putting on a responsible event. There's ecological, so if you think about the environment, there's economic, and there's social. So with events, ecological considerations are things like visitor footprint, effects on biodiversity, new construction, with what materials, how is it sourced, and what is it displacing? I think a lot of people say that the most sustainable venue is the one you don't have to build. And what made the Salt Lake City Olympics so successful on the sustainability front was that it had the geological privilege of being a natural winter sports destination. And it had a lot of the infrastructure and resorts already built and ready to host. Only six new buildings were constructed, and all of those had sustainability top of mind. So definitely important to think about utilizing existing infrastructure. For the economic category, we think about long-term viability and the after use of venues, so not just kind of a one and done. what is the afterlife of these things, the net cost and benefit of the event, how much investment is an event bringing in and for what purpose, those sorts of things. For social, safety, public approval and support of the event, human rights, all sorts of things related to people and communities. So with that framework in mind, what are some things that F1 can do, borrowing from lessons learned by the Olympics? I think number one in my mind is choosing race locations, both individual races and then collectively as a calendar, responsibly. In terms of choosing individual locations, things that I think F1 and the FIA should be thinking about, similar to what we were saying before around utilizing already built structures, but where is their infrastructure already built to minimize new construction and displacement? I think there should probably be a goal when choosing new race locations that 80 to 90%, which may sound like a lot, but should be existing, and then 10 to 20% new, for example. Like maybe that's a good framework to think about. Another question is, where is easy for fans to get via greener mobility or mass transit? You know, I always think back to when Seb Vettel drove himself to every European race except Silverstone and Budapest in his final season to cut down on flight impact. And I'm obviously not arguing for every race to be a trainable distance in Europe, but generally thinking about mass transport options, how fans are getting to races, because that's a big part of the impact and of carbon emissions, is if you have fans kind of flying in from all over the world, there aren't a lot of mass transit options to get to where they're going. It just creates a much bigger footprint. Another question on choosing race locations is, where could benefit from responsible economic boost and tourism? And I think this is certainly debatable. The last thing F1 needs is some sort of savior complex, and this would need to be done responsibly. But there's an argument to be made that hosting an F1 race in certain cities could introduce sustainable mobility, boost the economy, potentially improve human rights records, that sort of thing. And I think cities experiencing rapid urbanization, urban sprawl, suffering from sustainability challenges could theoretically benefit from the investment. One use case with the Salt Lake City Olympics, Utah saw a 72% increase in skier tourism between 2002 and 2019. So I don't think it's a secret that hosting these big events can definitely increase tourism, can have a positive impact on local economies, but it does need to be done responsibly. So something F1 could keep in mind. And then finally, on choosing race locations, thinking about climate and temperature, both in terms of individual location and then time on the calendar, like what season does it fall, and which cities require the least energy to cool or heat. One unfortunate example of this is the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014. That was one of the environmentally worst Olympics ever. The average low temperature for a Winter Olympics was 37 degrees Fahrenheit, so above freezing, meaning they had to artificially produce over 80% of the snow. It was a huge waste of water, and it wasn't a great case study in terms of a sustainable event. F1, again, doesn't require snow, but thinking about which cities, when during the year, how much energy is being required to heat or cool the event at a given time, just thinking more responsibly about placement. And then when we think about bringing all these races together on an F1 calendar, we've talked a lot about calendar regionalization, and we've discussed that before on the podcast, so I won't dive into too much depth now because we know that F1 has this in mind going forward, but thinking about making sure that races are regionalized during the year, and you know, having fewer races throughout the year would also help, as the drivers have noted many times and the teams as well. But you know, there's always a balance to strike between how many races and getting fans engaged versus cutting down.
We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout, orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to Fleurmarché, FLEURMARCHE.com. Use code for the girls for 20% off your first order.
Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So what else besides choosing races responsibly? I think this is a big one: creating a lasting legacy. It is no secret that F1 has gone racing in new countries without trying to build a legacy. There is so much to do in engaging with fans and building F1's following into new generations and new markets, and also creating a positive impact both while there during the race weekend and after the fact. So kind of thinking about that as a relationship over the course of the year rather than just a one and done. It's not just a come in, leave with no thought to it after the race weekend is over. One thing they could do is take an example from Extreme E, who does a legacy project in each of the race locations that Extreme E races in. So, for example, Saudi, they teamed up with a local organization to support turtle conservation along the Red Sea coastline. In Senegal, they've planted a bunch of trees. In Brazil, they've worked on Amazon forest security. So F1 definitely partners with local organizations in small ways, but it would be amazing to have driver sponsor time, for example, be focused on projects like these and in creating a legacy and getting to know the community that they race in, maybe rather than some of the other stuff that sponsors spend time on and thus drivers. Another big part of this is the actual facilities and ensuring there's reuse throughout the year. So that's what we talked about a little bit with the Salt Lake City Olympics. But 20 plus years on, the new structures that were built for Salt Lake City, the Olympic Oval, the Olympic Park, the Nordic Center, those now offer youth sports programs. They serve as community centers. They're also training facilities for current Olympic athletes. And by contrast, Sochi, which we talked about, which was one of the environmentally worst, has a $10 billion railway connector built that's basically unused now. So I think F1 could really think about the structures that they use, that they build in races, and how those can be used by the community after a race weekend. And it's a good transition to building an engaged local fan base. Part of creating a legacy is actually being involved in these communities and building that local fan base. And when F1 comes in, I think what they can do that the Olympics does pretty well is avoiding displacement of local people, making it cheaper, more accessible for locals so that there's public buy-in and approval for the event. That's one thing that's super cool about F1 is that it's usually the host cities and races themselves that act as promoters and put on the event. It allows for a much more local experience. And that's one thing we loved so much about going to Mexico and Austria is that socially and culturally, it felt very of the cities, of the regions, of the countries we were in. So F1 definitely has that as an advantage, but a lot of that goes to waste if you're pricing out local fans. You know, should there be more discounted prices for residents of the city and country that a race is hosted in? That would also minimize the number of fans coming from all over the world and making it a little bit more of a local event. And then finally on this one, in terms of creating a lasting legacy, rather than increasingly choosing races and countries that are willing to pay the most, F1 really should be thinking about what a new host country can bring to the sport besides money. How can it engage and uplift local people and communities? And I think that's something the Olympics does really well in the bidding process. Is the bidding process is extremely detailed, and it's not just about money. It's about so much more than that. So I think F1 could borrow some lessons in choosing which countries and which cities are best poised to actually uplift local people and communities. I think there's an irony to the sort of net zero by 2030 goal if F1 also isn't trying to uplift and create a legacy in the communities it races in, because social is such a big part of sustainability. And finally, the third thing, I think F1 could create or mandate an independent body to develop, monitor, enforce sustainability standards across all events. What the Olympics does is it is executed in every host city contract with the IOC, the International Olympics Committee, that the Olympics must be sustainable. There's a very detailed and technical carbon footprint methodology, and there's a lot of infrastructure around enforcing and measuring. In 2018, the UN passed a resolution that declared sport as an enabler of sustainable development and signed a letter of an intent highlighting the contribution of the Olympics to the UN SDGs. And so there's this real global buy-in. And while the IOC is great in pushing sustainability, it definitely has areas to improve on in terms of standardizing how it actually measures the impact during and after the event. It can't mandate how all professional sports run themselves individually, which F1 definitely has as an advantage given it's, one sport. But there are some cool things that different Olympic Games have done. If we take the Tokyo Olympics, for example, the medals were recycled and made from old electronics. Over 6 million phones, some cameras, laptops were used to reduce the number of electronics going to landfill. Podiums were upcycled plastic. The infamous cardboard beds, they were recycled into paper products after the game. And the mattress components were recycled into new plastic products. They used renewable energy as much as possible. And all these things are great. But I think in order for sustainability to be more than just maybe a marketing tool, there needs to be real measurement and standardization of these things, metrics, a scorecard. And the IOC definitely is a first step towards that. But I think there's more they can do. And for F1, right now, my understanding is that we have the FIA Environmental Accreditation Program that certifies teams, partners, events, but all 10 teams and many partners are already 3-star certified, which is the max. And we know that not all 10 teams are equally sustainable or even close. So to say that everybody gets 3 gold stars feels a bit like a participation award in my mind, rather than something that really requires serious and intentional work and change. So maybe thinking about that in a different way, or expanding how the environmental accreditation program works, so it's not just, everybody is doing great, might be helpful. The advantages that F1 has is it's one sport. Regulations can change every few years and everybody has to go along with it. 2026 is a great example as a push towards sustainability. There's an ability for F1 to be governance-led with strategy, mandates, pushed down to teams, partners, event promoters, all of that. But only a top-down approach isn't as effective as also having drivers and team members speak up. I think a lot of the mantle has been carried in the past by Seb or by Lewis, but hopefully others are becoming more conscious of it. I know athletes are starting to speak out more and more about what they believe in. Olympic athletes are definitely some of those. And I think drivers are starting to do that a little bit more as well. Anyway, all of this is just food for thought. Let us know what you think. Hopefully everybody's excited for the Olympics this summer. And thank you so much for joining this week. We will catch you for an Australian preview on Thursday.